What's heaven? Another name for the clearing at the end of the path. Ah. Benzica the Watch was strolling away with his hands clasped behind his back, his considerable ass bunching beneath his blue uniform trousers, his duty done. The Reverend Harrigan, meanwhile, was adjusting his easels. The picture on one showed a man being led out of jail by a fellow in a white robe. The white robe's head was glowing. The picture on the other showed the white robe turning away from a monster with red skin and horns on his head. The monster with the horns looked pissed like a bear at Cy Whiterobe. Susanna, is that red thing how the folk of this world see the Crimson King? Susanna, I guess so. It's Satan, if you care, Lord of the Underworld. Have the god guy get you a cab, why don't you? Use the turtle. Again, suspicious, Mia apparently couldn't help it. Do you say so? Say true, I say Jesus Christ, woman. All right, all right. Mia sounded a bit embarrassed. She walked toward Reverend Harrigan, pulling the scrimshaw turtle out of her pocket. 18. What she needed to do came to Susanna in a flash. She withdrew from Mia. If the woman couldn't get a taxi with the help of that magic turtle, she was hopeless. And with her eyes squeezed shut, visualized the Dogon. When she opened them, she was there. She grabbed the microphone she'd used to call Eddie and depressed the toggle. Harrigan, she said into the mic. Reverend Earl Harrigan, are you there? Do you read me, sugar? Do you read me? 19. Reverend Harrigan paused in his labors long enough to watch a black woman, one fine strutting honey too, praise God, get into a cab. The cab drove off. He had a lot to do before beginning his nightly sermon. His little dance with Officer Benzik was only the opening gun, but he stood there watching the cab's taillights twinkle and dwindle just the same. Had something just happened to him? Was it possible that... Reverend Harrigan fell to his knees on the sidewalk, quite oblivious of the pedestrians passing by, just as most were oblivious of him. He clasped his big old praise God hands and raised them to his chin. He knew the Bible said that praying was a private thing best done in one's closet, and he'd spent plenty of time getting knee-bound in his own, yes, Lord, but he also believed God wanted folks to see what a praying man looked like from time to time, because most of them, say God, had forgotten what that looked like. And there was no better, no nicer place to speak with God than right here on the corner of 2nd and 46th. There was a singing here, clean and sweet. It uplifted the spirit, clarified the mind, and just incidentally clarified the skin as well. This wasn't the voice of God, and Reverend Harrigan was not so blasphemously stupid as to think it was, but he had an idea that it was angels. Yes, say God bomb, the voice of the seraphim. God, did you just drop a little God bomb on me? I want to ask, was that voice I just heard yours or mine own? No answer. So many times there was no answer. He would ponder this. In the meantime, he had a sermon to prepare for. A show to do, if you wanted to be perfectly vulgar about it. Reverend Harrigan went to his van, parked at the yellow curb as always, and opened the back doors. Then he took out the pamphlets, the silk-covered collection plate which he'd put beside him on the sidewalk, and the sturdy wooden cube. The soapbox upon which he would stand could you raise up high and shout hallelujah. And yes, brother, while you are right at it, could you give amen? Stave. Kamala, come, Ken. It's the other one again. You may know her name and face, but that don't make her your friend. Response. Kamala, come, Ten. She is not your friend. If you let her get too close, she'll cut you up again.